Welcome to the Interviews Podcast.
Welcome, Interisti, to episode 129 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction, Coppa Italia edition, for Inter-Lazio in the quarterfinals, which finished 2-0 to the hosts. Goals from Marko Arnautović, an absolute banger in the 39th minute, and Hakan Çalhanoğlu converts the penalty in the 77th. As always, I'm one half of co-hosting duo Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, contrary to what a lot of folks are hoping for, Inter is still alive and well in this competition. Initial reaction to signing up for another couple of Milan derbies here?
Disappointed. I'm going to be honest. I'm disappointed that the derbies take a lot out of you physically, emotionally, mentally. Like, why would we want to do this to ourselves? Doesn't make sense. And honestly, I was disgusted with Lazio. We roll out our B team, dude. Two forwards who are, I mean, literally, you probably could have rolled out you and me up top, and we probably would have had the same. Well, although Arnautović was amazing today. I'm not going to hate. But expectation was nothing, right? Let's be real. Did you expect anything? I didn't expect anything. I would say 88% of our listeners didn't expect anything. And the 12% are because they are like Nima and in love with a player who I never want to see wear our colors again. Fifth in the pecking order. But we can get to that later. And I'm coming in hot because I just had a heated debate with Sean McIntosh about, which I'm sure we'll get into, about the Arnautović goal. We know some things there to debate about it. Some interference, goalie interference, offside by De Vrij, all these things. Baroni apparently is saying the same thing.
Okay.
We can get into that later. But anyway, I wanted to lose. I wanted to focus on UCL and I wanted to focus on the league. And Lazio is a bunch of scrubs. They show up to help us. I'll give them that. You know, they drew against Napoli twice. They helped us out there. But for whatever reason, they can't score on us. And it felt like they never were going to score on us. So, although our goalie was great today too. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, they outside of their wingbacks, which were Pellegrini and Lazzari, which is that is very poor. I'll give them that. It was Zaccagni, Bulaidia, Lumciauna, Isaksen, Rovella, Genduzzi, Romagnoli, Gigo. Like these are the players that typically play for them outside of Gigo, I guess. But everybody else is an entrenched starter, and we rolled out there with Zielinski, Aslani, Fratesi, which is the weakest addition of our midfield.
So one good midfielder. Okay.
Yep. Plus Arnautović, Taremi, who I think, let me just make sure I have this right here. So Arnautović had 21 touches all game. Not very involved whatsoever. And Taremi, let me see, lost 8 duels, which was every single one that he participated in.
So I'm sorry.
Just to provide some context as to how useless, of a team that we fielded there. Defensively, you know, Pavard, De Vrij, Bisek, very solid.
But before you go on, I feel like I need to defend myself, okay? Because there's a certain guy who comes on here often who might run a little website, have a podcast covering, you know, a league that we may listen and support. Mm. And he likes to bring up that I said I would die on the hill of Andre Radu, and I was slapped down to earth. Probably one of the worst takes in the history of Inter Twitter. I'll admit it. I was wrong, dead wrong about Radu. I was hyped over a under 21 Euros performance where he played out of his mind, but he was clearly not good enough to play for Inter. And he likes to bring it up and remind people how I'm a goalkeeper curse, right? I'm just the worst judge of goalkeeping talent. Well, Josep Martínez, once again, clean sheet. That's 3 for 3. And his boy, who he was backing, who he was excited to have at our club, was saying it's a massive upgrade for the team. Once again, drops a stinker of epic proportions. And you're telling me lost 8 duels? Disgusting,
Nima. I think
Nima.
Every single one that he...
Nima, that is disgusting. Your boy. Your Iranian brethren. Don't hide behind the Swedish flag now, buddy. You better stand out in front of the firing line and take your shots, sir. Because that guy is absolute dog water. Okay? I wouldn't want him anywhere near. Joaquin Correa has provided more in 3 appearances all season than your boy. Let's pack. Listen, Mehdi, pack your bags, okay? It's time to go to the Saudi Pro League. Get your bag there and never come back to Inter. Thank you very much. That's the end of my rant.
It's definitely not the end of your rant because we do have to talk about this guy quite a bit.
We do?
Damn. Okay. We do. There's a decent amount to talk about today. I don't want to be like super negative. So,
we're just going to be negative. Listen, we're going to be negative about one person. We've had great episodes and then I've been negative about Dumfries. I've also been positive about Dumfries, Huion, so careful now. Don't tweet at us.
Well, I think the perfect contrast of what was done well today and what was done poorly today is to look at it through the lens of Josep Martínez, who a fantastic performance. I mean, 6 saves, 3 from inside the box, 3 high claims, 87% passing accuracy. And I'm throwing out the stats here because when I was looking after the game at his performance, I wanted to contrast it to what we've seen out of Sommer, if he's ever sort of done this exact stat line, and he hasn't. He was immense today. Lazio put way more on target today. I never felt like they had a chance of scoring, but they did put way more on our goal than we put on theirs. And part of the reason why it never felt like it was going to be really dangerous is because Martinez just had it covered. I mean, he's an athletic shot stopper. The distribution was great. 8 completed long passes today. But I was just really impressed with his command of the area. The way that he was, marshaling a defensive lineup or defensive configuration that we haven't really seen before, with Bisek on the left, Ryan in the middle, and Pavard on the right. And Isaksson, who was finding space against him in both the first and the second half, like, he made some incredible saves, and it just felt very comfortable. It's very encouraging to know what we have here, especially after all the debate. And Johnny, if it keeps looking like this, there's going to be a real conversation to be had when Sommer is back from injury.
I mean, we wasted 12 million euros on this guy, right? Just an absolute waste of money, Josep Martínez. We miss Audero, right? We want him back. Badelli, is he available? Is that what we want out there? For everyone who said that this was a waste of money, we already talked about this last episode, right? So I don't want to be beating a dead horse, but I'm going to beat this dead horse a little bit more. Because what were we going to get for 12 million euros, people? Average Joe was out there tweeting it too. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for shining a little light on this lunacy that people think that we were going to get, like the next Arategui, who isn't out there, by the way, for 12 million, that we were going to get some kind of center back for 12 million. Like, come on, guys. Come on. This kid go ahead.
Also,
sorry.
Feels like you mentioned, you said, like, you say kid, right? He is 26,
true. He's,
27.
He's 26,
like, but that speaks to your point of, like, who are you going to get for 12 million? What potential top class goalkeeper heading into his prime athletic years, not really heading into, like, still has a good 4, 5, 6 of those prime years left.
Goalkeepers don't hit their peak. He's not even hitting his peak yet for $12 million. Imagine. Listen, again, I'm not saying he's Buffon, but I'm just saying, imagine Juve going to Parma in this day and age. Obviously, he was the top paid goalkeeper. Like, he was the highest sell value when he was purchased from Parma. But now imagine in today's age, at 27, 26, 20, 27 years. No, I think he's 26. 26 years old. Juve's going to have to sacrifice, like, chickens in a ring of blood with, like, a fire seance in order to get a goalkeeper of that, any quality, for 12 million euros. Not even a Buffon level. Any goalkeeper. Bento, we would have had to pay 25 million euros for. And we've seen a couple of blunders. I thought he was going to be incredible. I'll be honest. Again.
Yeah, me too.
He's been good. He's had two big boneheaded mistakes, but he's been good for them. Just looking at the numbers, I haven't watched any. I've only seen the mistakes. But if you look at his numbers, they've been good. We were not going to get Bento as much as I wanted him, and most people did want him. Let's talk about another goalkeeper that we were rumored to be interested in. Trubin over at Benfica. A lot of howlers. A lot of soft goals. He gave up 4 the other day. I forget who they were playing in the Champions League. 2 of them were goals that I'm sure he would love. I think it was Monaco they were playing. 2 of them, I'm sure he would love to get back. Trubin doesn't look like he's been, all that great himself. So I think we did very well for 12 million. Now, that's not saying that I think, you know, Josep Martinez is going to end up becoming the next De Gea or Casillas or anything, but I think that he's going to be a very good goalkeeper in a long line of good goalkeepers that have been at Inter. So let's enjoy it.
That's the thing. It's like, it is 3 games that he's played in. It has been 3 clean sheets, so you totally understand why Interisti would be excited about the guy, because, you know, frankly, you don't see a lot of him, and when you do see him, he performs. And, like, these aren't like anonymous performances. Like, he has had to intervene in every single one of these games that he's played in. Very, very late on against Udinese, late on against Genoa as well, and today it's not just one occasion, it was several occasions where he did have to intervene and keep the clean sheet. So it's looked good. Napoli, I'm not necessarily blown away by the firepower that Napoli has, but they're playing home. They'll likely firepower. Test him. So let's see what that ends up looking like. But things have been solid for Pep Martinez to start his Inter career. Someone who has gotten plenty of their opportunities and has not come through, Mehdi Taremi. So, just to
we got
to
stop calling him Mehdi, okay? His name is Mehdi Taremi, because that guy's been bang average at best. He's a meaty player. Meaty. Don't want him. Go ahead.
He is. I do feel like it is important to provide context, and this is not a defense of him. I just do want to let the listeners know that Inzaghi said after the match, and I don't know if this was protecting him or whether it even really matters, but he did mention both Fratesi and Taremi carrying significant knocks coming into the match that needed painkillers and stuff like that. So that was thrown out there by Simone. The reason why I don't think that it completely, you know, cuts off any of the criticism is that if this was the one game of the year where he was super, super poor, I'd say, okay, like, he's dealing with something. But this is kind of epitomizes his entire Inter career. Just never, never in sync. Those first few games were decent from a defensive point of view, from a link-up point of view, but I think Art at Artwined said it perfectly. It's like he's a he's a give and go bot. Like today, he didn't even get the opportunity to receive the pass and lay it off. But when he does, that's what he does. And today it was like he was in quicksand. Anything that came his way, he didn't corral it. He didn't get control of it. Like I said, he lost like every duel he was a part of. It was just very bad performance. And this is a key part of this whole thing. Sancido was not very happy with it.
And rightfully so. I mean, the guy is not Inter quality. And I'll be honest, I thought he would be decent. I thought he would be an upgrade on what we had previously. I really did.
I was there with you.
But he's just not. And the more you see it, the more you wonder, man, how far off were we with Dzeko that we just fumbled that back? Because he's still performing. Now, do I think he can give us a game like 60, 65 minutes? Probably not. It might be a little bit harder. I forget, you know, what his numbers are this season, but they're not bad. They're not bad.
He's having a good season.
And I would take, you know, Eden back in a heartbeat. Wish he was still here, to be quite honest. And it hurts that he never won a Scudetto, whether it was with us or Roma. Like I feel like he deserved one, especially for the work he did for us. I mean, it's a shame. But anyway, this guy, I don't want to hear it with the injuries. You know, somebody tweeted that upset me, you know, about his pressing, highlighting that. I'm not going to name names of the person who tweeted that where I had to quote tweet them. But, you know,
look at my preceding.
Is this what we're excited about? Strikers who could just press? They can't even score?
He was pressing well. What do you want me to
great,
say?
Great, he was pressing well.
And then when he shit the bed, I was tweeting it. But
and then, you know who else presses well? Me, when I'm working my French press in the kitchen.
Narratives, agendas, that's all.
No narratives, no agendas, just facts. And the facts are this guy's cheeks.
You want to get bothered a little bit more? Not that this is really relevant, really, because obviously, it's all situational. But Edin Dzeko, expiring contract 2025, so this summer, for 7 million euros. No, I'm saying, like, look at the difference. You have 7 million euros for his contract, and it was expiring this summer. For Taremi, expiring 2027 at 5.5 million euros. So you would have taken the higher salary for the less amount of years had you known this was going to play out. But obviously,
do you think we can get the Saudi Pro League to spend like 7 million on him and take him off our hands?
I think there's a good chance that they desperately try to move off of him this summer. And
am I asking for too much at 7 million?
I think the figure is probably, having seen him, they're probably going to want to get him for cheap, but I don't think that Inter would care. I think they'd
Saudi,
give him away.
Saudi Arabia, 7 million is like, that's like, 7 million to them is like a $20 burger at Five Guys to us.
Yeah, but they lowballed us for Brozovic, who went there
because he was on an expiring deal. Like, he was up the next summer. We have 2 more years, apparently, of Taremi.
Yeah, I mean, I would take it. I would take 5 million.
I would take 5 million. Yeah, I'll be real. 5 million, I think, fine with 5 million.
I don't think we can close out this conversation without asking the question. 1 through 5, rank your Inter forwards in terms of how quickly you'd write their name on the
Thuram is first on the list every time. I don't care that Lautaro's the captain. Thuram has been the most consistent forward this season. Then Lautaro. Then right now, I'm not even kidding, I would go Marko Arnautović.
Without question.
And if
it's
anyone
so
disagrees, there is nothing you could say that would make me put Correa or Taremi above Marko. There is nothing you could say. Absolutely. And if you say it, it's agenda driven. You just hate Arnautović for whatever reason. And let me tell you, the guy scores bangers. He's got vibes in the locker room. Everyone loves him. I don't see that same level of love for Correa and Taremi. And one guy is actually the grill master, and he doesn't even get that love. So let's just drop it at that. Then I would go Joaquin Correa because, hey, he's actually been better. More goal contributions. you gotta mute that, bro. Come on. What are we doing? We
can't be doing
amateur hour here. All right.
Is it making noise? I can't hear it.
Yeah, it was just playing noise.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. Sorry.
What do you think? What do you think this is? Inter extra with the mistakes you're dropping? I'm just kidding. No offense, Thomas, even though half of Argentina hates you right now for some reason. But yeah, no, that's Arnautovic, 100% Correa. And then I'll take Pio fifth, even though he's not even on the team. You know, he's at Spezia. I'll take him fifth. A jar of peanuts I might roll out there at sixth. And then Taremi at seventh. That's probably my ranking for Inter strikers.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. I think that's spot on. The level to which I think Arnautovic is better than Taremi from a technique standpoint. And listen, the guy doesn't need to be perfect, and he has proven that he is not. Arnautovic is absolutely not perfect, but you can count on him to try something that requires a level of technique that Taremi doesn't have. In most instances, Thuram or Lautaro don't have. The guy, like, it's never been his technique and his technical ability has never been the problem. He's old now. He's a little slower. He's not everything comes off.
Real quick, that goal, right? Thuram's in the same situation. Is that going in?
No.
I agree. And it's not even, I'm not hating on Thuram by any means. I've never seen him attempt a volley, let alone strike one.
Thuram is a better player because he's better at other things. But
100%.
When it comes to technique, Arnautovic is like top five in the entire squad. In terms of like what he can...
In terms of even level of creativity, like...
The ball is in the air forever. You can watch him time his run up to the ball. You have to time the way you're moving towards it, when the ball is dropping, how you're going to strike it, how much power you're putting... The level of difficulty of hitting a volley from outside the box like that, it's incredibly high. I know that it looked easy, but dude... You're moving towards a ball that you have to volley in midair. Like, it's very, very difficult to pull that off.
Hold on. Let me try to pull. Because now I gotta see. Keep going.
Yeah, he has always had a high level of technique. And the guy has earned all of the criticism that he's received. But he's showing signs of life that Taremi's not showing. Correa, who... I couldn't be more annoyed with him leaving the field in tears and it coming back that he's totally fine. And I think he was like, Inzaghi was begging him, give me a few more minutes, and he was crying, whatever, and then he's totally fine. Like, between him, Taremi, I guess the only other two options, it's Arnautovic every day. You at least feel like he's going to get himself into a position to make something happen. Whether it comes off is another story, but... If this is going to boost his confidence, give me Marco every day. You need me to keep going?
No, you're good. Let's go. Let's go.
Wow. What do you
do? Went a little too far. So let's go right back here. No, a little too. Okay. So let's see. Watch. I mean, oh my gosh.
Dude, look at the flight of the ball as it's traveling towards him. Do you know how hard it is to time that to perfection?
But now look at it. Yeah, you see where De Vrij is? Did you see where De Vrij was?
Yes.
Okay.
That's not obstruction.
Unfortunately, we don't have the angle. Now, look at Mandas, right? Having a look around De Vrij. If you look at it from the side view, which unfortunately they don't have here on the official Coppa Italia or Serie A channel, but De Vrij might have been coming from an offside position. I didn't think so. I also say that I don't think...
But wasn't he not involved in the play whatsoever? Like,
but
the ball ends up in the... like,
but the arguments that Lazio and Sean were making is that because Mandas has to look around De Vrij to get a line of sight on the ball, and because he's coming from an offside position, you could make the case that he is impeding. And apparently that's what Baroni was arguing.
Okay. Can I toss another thing for Laziale to think about? Maybe, first of all, what I want to say is that I don't give a shit, because if it was the other way around, you'd give it against Inter every day of the week. So,
and honestly, care. But when I was asked, I said to Sean, I was like, look, if I don't know, I couldn't even think. I said, if Rovella scored the same goal, I'm not crying about impeding. That's a banger. I'm sorry.
Cry if it's 16 yards away. Cry if you're just inside the box and you don't have a lot of time to react. He hit that thing from 30 fucking yards away, and you want to talk to me about line of sight? Get the fuck out of here. He one-timed it in the air from 35 yards away, and we want to talk about Mandas had a look around, and he put it in the side net. I'm sorry.
If he sees it coming, he still doesn't save it. That's the way I look at it. It was placed so perfectly into the side netting that Mandas is a short goalkeeper. So even if he dives across, he's not getting a finger. Unless he's standing in the corner on that post, no. He's not saving that. That's how I see it. And I would have said the same thing if it was the other way around. And let's say we lost this game, and I would not be like, oh, but Inter. I wouldn't have said anything. I'll be honest.
No. It's a perfectly legitimate goal from a player who had himself a really good game.
And in real time, it never crossed my mind. No announcer said it. Nobody was complaining. I didn't see any players like flipping out about it. Nothing.
No.
Mandas didn't say anything.
I'm sorry. A one-time volley from 35 yards out is not... You can't call obstruction or anything like that. It's just not... It's if that is what our sport has become, like, just shut it down.
Bro, you couldn't beat the B team.
You're not going to let something like that stand. You really hate the beauty of the game, if that's the case. Just get over it. Where do you think... So you mentioned the 1 through 5. Where do you think the fan base in general is at with Arnautovic right now? Do we feel like people are coming around a little bit, have some faith in him as the third striker? Or
I feel like you have to, though, given what options are there. Like, I think you would really just be agenda-driven if you didn't think so. That's really the only way that this doesn't make sense, or this doesn't get stacked up as a third guy. You are just strictly going off of agendas, and that, you know, you just don't like him for whatever reason. And look, I'm not saying he's the best player. He's not even the first guy I would want, like, on the team sheet, right? He's third. Look at what else is there. If we had both Esposito brothers, yeah, you could say he's not third. If we had, I can't even think, Bulaidia, who there was like a rumor 2 years ago, not this past summer. If we had Dia, of course, you want him as the third. Like, yes, there are Retegui, right? Like, there's so many other guys that you would prefer in the third, but what we have at our disposal, he is the third best option. And he's probably, albeit it's not been the most beautiful play, but probably been the most consistent of the guys off the bench. You have to see it that way. I'm sorry, like... Do I think that I would want him, you know, taking a last-second penalty for us in a 2-2 game? No. But do I want him out there if we're chasing a goal and you have the other two forwards already on? Yeah. He's going to give
over the other options, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I'm not throwing Taremi out there first in any circumstance. He's going to try a little flair. He's going to try something. Now, that also means that there's an opportunity for him to turn the ball over and something bad could happen. But I feel like the opportunity for something magical happening is way better with him on the pitch than with any of the other two options, or either of the other two options.
It's so interesting to look back on his Inter career and how people feel about him, because the highs have been high and the lows have been so low. you think about some of the things that we've seen from him, his debut, the little step over and cross across the box for Lautaro for the 2-0 against Monza to start our Scudetto season. The back heel to unleash Barella. This volley from 30 yards away, whatever it is. Like, he's had moments of like, holy shit. And then he's had moments of Atletico Madrid. I can't even name off the top of my head.
He still won the game. Like, I understand he missed opportunities, but he also still won the game for us. Nobody else was scoring. Like,
yeah,
I'm not trying to forgive him. Like, some of those misses were egregious. I would say maybe 2 of the 3 misses. One, I think, was going to be very hard for any striker to get in on. The one that was like rocketed at him and he tried to volley it, which yeah. was going to be. But anyway, he's had games where I've hated him. He's had games where, yeah, I've been wowed by his. Listen, he also will press. He will fight for everything. When he makes a mistake, today. He will let it linger and affect the rest of his play, and he'll let that like suck him in.
But he's been doing that less. His body sure. language has looked
for
better.
Sure. Yeah. Now, what I'm curious to see what you think. His highs, compared them to Correa. Mm-hmm. Which highs are you more appreciative of?
More appreciative of
like if, which one like, honestly, compare... like, which, like do you think it's his performances like Correa's performances against Hellas both yeah. times I, or are you taking I, what Arnautovic has done?
I'm taking what Arnautovic. I'd rather
same
Arnautovic on his same. Day than Correa.
Same.
I know that with Correa you have like the 45 minutes of that first half against Hellas. Was that totality of that 45 minutes was better than, you know, the moments of brilliance that Arnautovic has. But those moments of brilliance, like in every 3 matches you see Arnautovic, he'll have, you know, 2 moments, right? Correa, it takes 6 or 7 appearances for you to have that consistent, you know, 45 minutes that looks good. It's just not, I'd rather throw Arnautovic out there 10 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10. All right. Let's 100%. Move on to some other shit here. Darmian goes down the 24th minute. Looks like it's a left hamstring situation. Coming into the game, Carlos Augusto working his way back from injury. Unclear if he'll be available for the weekend, but not looking likely. Zalewski out for the next 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Darmian is... Yeah. Calf.
I knew not it was a good. Calf. I didn't know it was 3 more weeks. Holy cow. All right.
So DiMarco and Dumfries are only 2 healthy wingbacks, depending on what happens with Darmian. Give me your crisis level, 1 through 10, with the injuries to the wingback position.
I mean, you got to go at least an 8.
Yeah,
you literally have 2 healthy wingbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, and you're not going to pull up.
Is not yeah, a.
And really, you only have engine. 1 who's performing well. And even Dumfries, the last couple of games hasn't been great. Like it hasn't been anything you know like that you're excited about. And you know he's not going to rely on Primavera kids because that's arguably the most important position in the Inzaghi system.
Yeah,
like I don't like. Our situation right now, it's not great. I kind of wish we had Perisic right now. Like that's because at least you know he's you know ambidextrous. He could be on the right, he could be on the left, and yeah, not doesn't look good. You know what? I said 8. Let's go 9. It's not good.
The switch to the 4-4-2 to try to combat that a little bit, where you had that back forward of Pavard, De Vrij, Bissek, Bastoni, and then out left Zielinski, and then Dumfries on the right. I liked the way that it looked, especially when it was Barella, Hakan, Zielinski on the left, Dumfries on the right, that back four. And then if you added Lautaro and Thuram. I could see a potential solution there for a short period of time until you get these guys back. What did you think of how that looks like? You did see some players get opportunities. The Correa blew something. Bissek had himself in a ton of room. Zielinski looked lively out there. What do you think of a potential temporary switch towards a 4-4-2?
I don't love it, and I only say that because I think it's just an antiquated formation. Yes, that there were some good signs out there. I just don't think that that could be sustained for long periods. Or if, like, let's say we had something where we had to go to it for 65 minutes, I don't think that we would be able to do much with it. I think it takes away a lot of what our strengths are in terms of getting wide and then being able to have options in the middle, making runs to be able to get to the forwards. I think that changes things for sure when you go to that formation. And Zielinski doesn't have the speed, in my opinion, to really make it all that important on the left side. I did think he played a relatively good game, but I just...
One of his better ones, yep.
Yeah, but I just don't know. And listen, I could be wrong for sure. You know, I mean, we saw it for a brief instance. It's not like we've seen this to be a trend or happen over the course of 5-6 games or whatever. So maybe it could be something where it throws teams off that don't expect us to switch to that and allows us to have other ways to break them down. But I think that it looked good because we were playing a Lazio side that kind of had already thrown in the towel and we weren't chasing the game. I don't think this would work if we were down 1-0 and we had to go to this formation to try to, you know, to steal even a point or something. So
I agree about the offensive capabilities of that shift, but I do think we're probably going to see it a few times while we're waiting on Zielinski and potentially Darmian to come back. We don't know how long those injuries are going to take. Also, while knowing that we have to keep DiMarco and Dumfries fresh for the run-in here at the end of the season, I do like the defensive look of having Bastoni, like Acerbi, De Vrij, Pavard back there. Like, that back four feels real, put the clamps on of a kind of situation, which I do like that look. But yeah, we'll see how things look. Would you rather talk about this midfield performance today or this back line, who Bissek, De Vrij, and Pavard all put in 90 minutes today?
Let's go with the back line. Let's start with the back line.
I thought there was a defensive masterclass across all three. I thought Bissek was timing his interventions. Pavard was perfect until a couple giveaways in the second half. And then De Vrij, like, just comandante.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying that I thought it was disrespectful that De Vrij was relegated to the bench. I didn't think that that was the right way to go about things. I do think that one of our listeners brought up a really valid point where, and I apologize, I'm not remembering who it was who tweeted at me. It's not that I wouldn't mention. I would mention
Mike Cudieri.
I thought it was Mike. I just didn't want to like guess, but thank you. You know, said that, hey, you know what? Like, he's been playing so much that he probably just needed a rest and that he will be called on, you know, later in the season. And I thought that was a very, very well said point. And I didn't think about it that way. You know, I thought that it was just Inzaghi going back to Acerbi because that's his guy and all that stuff. But yeah, no, I am very happy, you know, that he is still being consistent. He's still performing at top level. You can make the case that he has been the best defender in Serie A this season. I don't think people would really make an argument against it. And to be quite honest, outside of what Buongiorno has done with Napoli, and I could be, you know, off on this, but I've liked what I've seen from Heaton from Atalanta. I think that he's been a very consistent performer in the games I've seen. I don't know if it's been every game that he's played, but I've liked what I've seen from him there. So, you know, if you wanted to make some cases, but I would give it to De Vrij. I think he's been incredible all season. So to see him still performing and still being able to be relied upon is massive for this club. And I hope that he's the guy come this weekend. I don't know if he will be, but
I think the 90 minutes today means that we're going to see Achebe at the weekend, but
probably right.
Yeah, it kind of also gives you a little insight into what might happen with Martinez once Sommer is back too, right? Inzaghi just, he has his guys. So yeah, some other folks that gave 90 minutes, Taremi, we talked about, Zielinski, who we thought had a pretty good game today. Correa came on, got himself in positions. He did win the penalty. He also did have a glaring miss towards the end of the game.
Rough. Skying that ball.
I don't care how good he looked. I don't really, really don't like that he pulled himself off the pitch a few days ago in tears with what looked to be a serious injury, and then is back out there today and was even cussing out Inzaghi to get him off the pitch. So, yeah.
To the last game?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's video of Inzaghi telling him to give him 5 more minutes because he didn't want to waste the substitution window in the first half, and Correa asking to be taken off immediately.
Oh, yo, I didn't know all that. Damn, if I do that, I would...
Yeah. Not happy.
Yeah, not happy about that.
Didn't think Barella needed to come on. Maybe Topalovic.
It would have been nice,
Yeah,
again, another one where I don't understand that. The game's over. It's done and dusted. Why are we doing this to ourselves, putting us in situations like that? But
yeah, and then Bastoni gets on and headbutts De Vrij and gets two stitches or a few stitches after the game. That could have been bad too.
Yep.
All right, before we hit the Q&A, last question that I have for you. Not even on the game, but just about the situation that our season is heading into. So the way that you're looking at this matchup with Milan is almost like not enough good can come from this matchup. Even if we are able to achieve redemption, your belief is that it's going to take so much out of the team to get that redemption that like the morale boost doesn't overcome what a hard-fought two legs is ultimately going to do to the team. That's your take on this, correct?
Yeah.
I tend to agree that I think what ultimately is going to weigh more is even if you get the redemption and it's like you're not going through a season without getting a good result against Milan, I do think these games towards the end that are going to require a high level of intensity don't necessarily help us, even if the morale boost is going to be big. So,
yeah, exactly. It's going to take a lot. And if we lose to them, right, and they go on to win the Coppa Italia, that's even another whammy. Let's say we go trophyless this year. I don't think we will.
Two trophies.
We lose two trophies to Milan, and they're gonna like, you know, hang. Now I still think we hold the bigger trophy over their head in terms of winning the second star against them. That's soul crushing. It's both. So like, cool, you could have that if that's what you know that want you want that to be your scudetto. I just don't. That's why I wasn't happy about the win. Like, I mean, I wasn't like, oh my gosh, like even like when they came into the office today, you know, the two Juventini that I work with were like, oh, are you excited? And I'm like, for what? I honestly didn't know what they were talking about. Like, I was like, did something happen today for work? Like, what are we talking about? And they're like, oh, like with Sean, the derby. Like, I'm like, no. I was like, I hope he beats us. Like, I mean, I got other things on my mind. They're like, oh, you don't take the Coppa Italia seriously? Like, that's not what I said. I was like, I know the lack of depth we have. And then you could see now that we lost Darmian too. That's, you know, and hopefully it's not too serious. And maybe he misses the Napoli game and that's it. But
I don't even get why someone would say, oh, you don't take it seriously. It's like, we won it twice in Inzaghi's tenure. Like, yeah, we get that he can do it. You know what I mean?
Same thing with the Supercoppa. Like, we won three in a row. Like, we should have won four. We should have. Yeah. We blew that, but like...
That 20th star, we almost won the Scudetto that the first year Inzaghi was here. We've made it to a Champions League final. It's like we're getting closer to these other objectives where, no, I'm not really jazzed up about the Coppa Italia. I am always intrigued by the possibility of a treble, but I think
for sure
the depth of the squad is, dude, we have two healthy wingbacks. It's getting challenged to the point of like formation changes. That's how much this depth is getting challenged. So yeah, I could do without another three tough games. All right, let's get into this Q&A real quick. We don't have a ton. At a person 1352, what player from this Lazio squad would you take at Inter, personally, I would go for Dia. Who do you want to take this?
That's a great shout. I like that it's not what I think Alessandro and I would pick. I think we both agree on the same player, so I'm going to save him some time. It's Rovella. You take him immediately, and you've got your regista for the next 5, 6, 7 years right there. As much as I do like Dia, and I think that he would be a great third choice. I mean, I did mention him earlier in the episode. But Rovella, Italian, amazing player. You give me him, Zielinski, and Barella. Let's say if Hakan did, all of a sudden get sold or whatever, I'd be thrilled with that. I would truly be okay.
I distinctly remember having the thought during this game that I think I prefer, if I was given the choice between Rovella and Ricci, I think I would prefer Rovella.
Okay.
Because of his stature. Like, physically, he is much more imposing than Ricci.
And I think he is a much better passer as well, without question. His long range. I've seen at least 4 or 5 games where Rovella could have assists or should have. If Lazio had a clinical striker, he would have 5 or 6 more assists, without question.
Also, you can't discount, like, Lazio is playing much bigger games than Torino is.
Yeah.
They're fighting for a top four. They're in, Europa League contention. So yeah, I think I would prefer him over Ricci at this point. We have one other question and then we're getting out of here, bud. Why risk Di Marco like this? He's the only fit left wing back we have at the club. Pray he doesn't get injured tonight. Well, he didn't get injured tonight, but that didn't mean that our depth didn't take a hit.
But like, that's why you have to risk him though. Like, who else are you going to play? What are you going to do? Put Bastoni at left wing back and then
you're not starting one of the kids either.
Yeah. Like,
it's just not his style.
As much as we as fans wanted it so that we could preserve players, it just wasn't going to be the case, So.
And at the same time, it's like we get excited about an 18-year-old, but to throw him into a Coppa Italia quarterfinal against Lazio, it's like,
and what if he gets? And what if he absolutely sucks? Look?
Yeah.
Like, what if he just? And then you just shoot his confidence. The fan side of me is like, let's do it. The human side of me is like, I don't want to ruin this kid forever, and then we don't, have a player on our hands that we thought we could add. Like, what if we did throw Topalovic out there and he just stunk it up and caused 2 turnovers that led to led to the equalizers? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's not like he was going to be getting help from, like, if you're already doing rotation, right, and you got to put Aslani in there, like, you're not doing the kid any favors by not giving him any help. Like, he's going to be left on an island to get absolutely destroyed. It's not really going to be good for anyone. All right, that's it. Got anything else you want to dive into here?
Yes, 2 things I'm going to say real quick. One, I have right here the Givi that I've had wrapped, all these cards that I haven't done. That's on me. I'm going to set it up tomorrow morning when this episode drops. That way that can be taken care of. And because I've messed up and took so long, I'm going to give away a card from my personal collection. It's a graded Davide Fratesi.
Ooh.
Number to 50. It's a pretty cool picture of him celebrating a goal. You can't really see it because of the glare. I'll take a better picture of it and post it. But I feel bad that I've taken this long, and I'm going to give away this Fratesi card, which is pretty sick. Yeah.
Fratesi is also, you know, we get on him a lot, but when it comes to celebrating,
not I was going to do this, Buchanan card that I have numbered to 15, but I didn't think anybody would really want a Buchanan card. So we're going Fratesi.
That might be more of a throw in than a giveaway.
Damn. All right, that's cold. Anyway.
Savage the Canadians on the way out. All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.